Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to New Govardhan Dham. I'm not going to give an official welcome for the opening of the festival. That's going to happen at 10 o'clock. So this is a preamble to the festival. We're beginning, as we do every morning in our blissful lives in Krishna consciousness, with a discourse. And for this weekend, we were doing a seminar last year. During this event, we had a seminar, I think it was 4 days, classes on the Shikshastakam prayers. So they asked me to do another seminar this weekend, and there were so many subject matters. But because essentially this event is all centered around chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. I was thinking of some topic in relationship to the holy name, and I closed my eyes and I remembered Srila Haridasa Thakur, who's Namacharya and a favorite of many of our kirtaneers in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So my humble attempt will be to glorify his divine grace, Srila Haridasa Thakur. And we are speaking from Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which his glories are described in many places, particularly in Anchalila, chapter 11, text number 25. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Go Bhaktavindam. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavindam. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrindam. Loka Nishtarite E Tomara Avatar Namarer Mahima Loke Karila Pachara. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Your role in this incarnation is to deliver the people in general. You have sufficiently preached the glories of the holy name in this world. Purport. Srila Haridasa Thakur is known as Namacharya because it is he who preached the glories of chanting Harinam, the holy name of God. By using the words Tomara Avatar, your incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms that Haridasa Thakur is the incarnation of Lord Brahma. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that advanced devotees help the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his mission, and that such devotees are personal associates and incarnate by the will of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord incarnates by his own will, and by his will, competent devotees also incarnate to help him in his mission. Haridasa Thakur is thus the incarnation of Lord Brahma, and other devotees are likewise incarnations to help in the prosecution of the Lord's mission. Oma gyan timadandasya ginangana shalakaya chaksunimilitam jenatasmai sigurubhaye namaha. Sri Chaitanya manobhishtam shtapitam jenabhutale shvayam rupa kadamayam dadantisva padantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. So auspicious beginning. Today we are beginning our 4-day seminar on the life and the teachings of Srila Haridasa Thakur. As many of you know, Srila Haridasa Thakur is a very popular personality in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Every day we're reminded of his glories, at least once, if not twice or thrice a day. For during the Prema Dhwani prayers, his name is mentioned. After calling out the names and glorifying our immediate acharyas, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we say, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Joy, which means all glories to all the devotees, and then Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur Ki Jai, and then Premsakuho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas. Significant. He's given great prominence. In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada lists, I believe it's 32 spiritual masters, including himself in the disciplic succession, beginning from Brahma down to the present day. And all of them, of course, are extremely important, but it's Haridasa Thakur's name who is brought up in the very beginning of the Prema Dhwani prayers. This says something. As I travel around the world, nowadays I often see the wooden form of Haridasa Thakur. It wasn't there in the beginning of the movement, but because of devotees' love and appreciation for the Namacharya, often you see in the Maharaj, it's a Siddha Bhukul. That may or may not be, but his deity form is present on many altars, and when devotees sit down to chant in the morning, they place the tulsi plant, as he did, before them, and his vigraha, and they chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. He was popular during his own times. Many great devotees came to take his association. For example, Rupan Sanatan. Sanatan Goswami was best friends with Haridasa Thakur. Rupa Goswami used to go and take his association when Haridasa Thakur was living in Jagannath Puri under the Siddha Bakul tree. He's famous now, and as the glories of the holy name spread by the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the centuries to come, he'll become even a more prominent personality. To quote one of my godbrothers, Rupa Vilas Prabhu, who wrote extensively on the life of Haridasa Thakur, he says, and I thought this was very interesting, Haridasa Thakur's story has everything. Love, conflict, drama, temptation, philosophy, ecstasy, reversal of fortune, tragedy, victory, inspiration, and utmost transcendence. His essential teaching proposes that the happiness we all seek can be found in the few syllables of the Maha Mantra, and this truth is as much relevant today as it was 500 years ago. I thought that was a nice synopsis of this divine personality, Haridasa Thakur. And it's for these reasons and more that we've chosen him and his teachings as the subject matter of our seminar. As we proceed, it will become clear that indeed he's Acharya. He's a perfect representative for the Yuga Dharma. What is a Yuga Dharma? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Why amongst all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because all of them came to accompany him in the Yuga Dharma. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangha Ponga Sriparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Prayar Ijantihi Shumera Shaha. It's described thousands of years ago in the Bhagavad Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the mission for the Yuga Avatar. And we know that when Krishna comes, he never comes alone. Prabhupada said, you'll never see a picture of Krishna alone. He's always with his devotees engaged in some devotional service, even a deer or a peacock. So when the Lord comes, he comes with his entourage to perform his mission. And these are all great liberated souls. Not liberated, they're nitya siddha. They were never conditioned. They're eternally liberated souls. And they come. When Krishna came, he brought many of the residents in Vrindavan, amongst them his closest associates like Srimati Radharani and her Sakis and her Manjaris. And in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many of those female devotees took male forms and assisted the Lord in his various pastimes. And all of them were very expert, we're not just speaking in some way that they're expert in playing musical instruments or they had beautiful voices, which they did, but they, as Madhava Prabhu always encourages us, chant from the heart. They were really chanting from the heart, all those devotees, broadcasting the glories of Sri Krishna in the form of his holy name. Just to have heard even one of them chant, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, would have been a great blessing for us. But amongst all of them, Haridas Thakur was chosen as the best example. And why is that? Why was he selected as the acharya of the holy name? Well, that we know from his best friend, one of his best friends, Srila Sanatana Goswami. He said, and it's recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Apane achari keha nakari pachara, pachara karana keha nakarena achara. He said, some behave very well, but do not preach the cult of Krishna consciousness. Whereas others preach, but do not behave properly. Achara pachara namera kaha dui karya, tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arya. You, however, Haridas Thakur, simultaneously perform both duties in relationship to the holy name by your personal behavior and by your preaching. Therefore, you are the spiritual master of the entire world, for you are the most advanced devotee of the Lord. He stuck out because he demonstrated the perfect life of a chanter. He chanted, he took a vow to chant 300,000 names a day, and I went on my computer, I'm not good at math, and I did the math, and it's 192 rounds. Many of us struggle to chant 16 rounds. 192 rounds? How much time is left? I calculated about 90 minutes. And that was the life and soul of these great devotees. They relished glorifying Krishna through chanting his holy name. So therefore the Vaishnava community at that time bestowed upon him the name Acharya. Just like in our society, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, he gets the title of Sankirtan leader, regional secretary, president, maybe GBC, or sannyasi. We have these titles so that we know who to go to for instruction, or example and instruction. So Namacharya, that's about the highest title you can get, but you wouldn't know it because Haridas Thakur was so humble and submissive. Trinada Pisanichino, Dora Pisa Hisnana. He exemplified a real chanter of the holy name in his humility. So he was the perfect example. He chanted his rounds diligently every day. And somehow or other he had found the time, I guess. Some mystically, he chanted those 192 rounds and still had plenty of time to go out on Harinam Sankirtan. He's the best example for us. This Yuga Dharma doesn't change. It was inaugurated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the process remains the same. Prabhupada would warned us. He said, don't add or subtract. Everything I have given you is perfect. This is the formula for the next at least 10,000 years, the golden age of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. And actually it's meant to go the whole Kali Yuga. It'll be a little more difficult. At the end of this age, we hear devotees will be living underground. But still, the process is the same. Chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. So this is the essential instruction to all devotees. Chant and distribute the holy names. In other words, for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the very essence or the purpose of our lives. What do we live for now as devotees? Why do we exist? Just to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. It's a bold statement, but everything else is secondary. We spend our time chanting, and according to our ability, helping in a big or small way, but it's all sankirtan, it's all complete glorification of the Lord, to distribute the holy names. Brahmacharis, sannyasis, are preaching, householders are raising their saintly sons and daughters for the future of the Krishna conscious movement. We have restaurants, we have... Everything's connected, but we have to refocus sometimes. Remember, this is our life. Our life revolves around chanting the holy names, and that echoed in the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his purport to the Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He writes, in the teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu, there are only two principal instructions. I love this. In the teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu, there are only two principal instructions. Develop a taste for chanting the holy names and display compassion for the fallen souls. Nowadays there's that term mission statement. You know, you just come, your whole life just going to compress it into a statement why you live. For the karmis it might be, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. For devotees, develop a taste for chanting, some namruchi, and show compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. They don't have that, those who don't have that opportunity. Well, the personality of Srila Haridasa Thakur is most important in Mahaprabhu's mission. His contribution, how to chant and how to distribute the holy names, is paramount. Actually, he was selected. Many are called, but few are chosen. Right? He was selected by Mahaprabhu for this purpose, because as we know, Mahaprabhu fulfilled his mission of spreading the holy names to every town and village of the world through his various devotees. That's called delegating responsibility. He could have done it himself, but his devotees are little ducks at his feet. Quack, 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 quack. Give me service, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. This is what we're doing, we're chanting Hare Krishna. What is it? Some mechanical mantra? It's a prayer from the heart. Please give me service. I've been bereft of your service for billions and billions of lives, and now I have the opportunity, by the grace of Guru and Gauranga, to surrender some service. I'll be happy just to clean the floor. What to speak of having the great privilege to carry on the mission in the same way that Mahaprabhu demonstrated, by going out in Harinam Sankirtan, or worshipping the deity, associating with devotees, hearing the Bhagavatam, living in a holy place. We're begging for service. So Mahaprabhu, delegate, you do it. Like Prabhupada said one time. They asked, why? Mahaprabhu didn't spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. And Prabhupada stopped and he put his cane in the sand, he looked at the skies, he said, because he wanted me to do it. Not out of pride. But just as the Lord wants to give credit, just as the devotee wants to give credit to the Lord wants to give credit to his devotee. This is a competition in divine love. This is love. There's a competition to glorify the beloved. You're glorifying him, and he's glorifying you, and there's this constant competition. So the Lord's giving the service to his devotees, and they get the credit, but of course they give the credit back to the Lord. This is back and forth. So Mahaprabhu, to spread a movement like this, many personalities and many parts of the mission are required to be successful. Just like to run a business, you need the person in charge, you need the vice president, you need the treasurer, you need the person who orders for the warehouse, you need the guys who ship out from the warehouse, you need the distributors. So this is a movement. It's meant to spread, movement. It's meant to gradually spread and inundate the entire world with the flood of love of God. So it takes practical organization. Just like Prabhupada said in the beginning. He said, in the beginning, Krishna sent me a few good men who helped him, traveled with him and helped him, like our dear good brother, Harisori Prabhu. So expert in practically helping Srila Prabhupada as his secretary, traveling around the world, and so many devotees. So whom did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrust the practical management of spreading this movement? Not necessarily to people who are materialistically inclined, but to spiritually advanced people. Because this is a spiritual movement. Interestingly enough, many of those personalities had very capable practical management as well. Like after the Mahaprabhu left, and his associates left, the mission was pretty much in the hands of Jiva Goswami. Practically single-handedly, he managed the movement at that time. He was a great transcendentalist, but very practical in buying and purchasing and publishing and so forth and so on. So we need that. So how did, to whom did Mahaprabhu entrust various aspects of spreading Sankirtan during his time? That's very nicely described again in the writings of Kaviraj Goswami. Thank the Lord for Kaviraj Goswami, that he sat at the lotus feet of Raghunath Das Goswami for so many years. I think Raghunath Das Goswami lived 48 years out at Radhakund, and every day he would sit on the banks of Radhakund and he would speak the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because as a young boy he joined Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri under the tutelage of Sri Brahmadhar Goswami. So he was witness to all the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri. And like Hariswari Prabhu, kept a notebook of his times with Sridhar Prabhupada. This was brilliant. Many times we just go through life, we don't record, and what was it like? I can't remember. Unfortunately, there's devotees who write. So Raghunath Das Goswami witnessed these pastimes. When he came to Radhakund, every day, 6, 7, 8 hours a day on the banks, he would speak the glories of Mahaprabhu. And there's Kaviraj Goswami. And from his notes, he wrote the epic Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was the favorite book of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And as such, out of all the books that were written about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada chose to translate and comment on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So therein, we find how the Sankirtan, who was deputed to do what? Haridash Dwara Nama Mahatmya Prakash Sanatana Dwara Bhakti Siddhanta Vilas. Very interesting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the glories of the holy name through Haridash Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family. Similarly, he exhibited the essence of devotional service through Sanatana Goswami, who had almost been converted into a Muslim. Shri Rupa Dwara Brajera Prema Rasa Leela Ke Bujita Pari Gambira Chaitanyara Kela. Also, the Lord fully exhibited the ecstatic love and transcendental pastimes of Vrindavan through Shri Rupa Goswami. Considering all this, who can understand the deep plans of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Until Leela 5. 86-87. So today we're focusing on this divine personality, Haridas Thakur, who we hear was empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread the glories of the holy names. And he demonstrated for us how to do that. Practical example. Such an important and inspiring figure in our tradition. In this regard, there's something quite remarkable about his Leela, about his pastimes. And that is, that person who was deputed to be at the forefront of preaching, you know, Krishna consciousness, the Yuga Dharma in India, the land of Dharma, Bharat Varsha, he took birth in a really low family. Like, hello? Thought he'd be a Brahmin or something. They're at the forefront. He took birth outside the scope of Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram Dharma, we're speaking about Brahmins and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Sudras. But even Sudras have the ability, they have the opportunity to advance. Sudra doesn't mean they were unregulated sense gratifiers like we have in modern times, but they had their principles, they had their rules or regulations. Everyone had the opportunity to advance in life. Haridas Thakur took birth outside of Varnashram Dharma. He took birth in a Malecha. Usually the term is used, Yavana, birth. He took birth in a Muslim family. But to be careful these days when we speak, because we do respect all religious traditions. But a fallen birth in the sense that at that time the Muslims were conquering India, they were persecuting Hindus. They were accustomed to meat eating, in particular the sacred cow. So low birth. Nevertheless, although Haridas Thakur was born, and usually when you're born in that, you know, you're conditioned. That's it. Your DNA. You're born in that family, and you know it's hard to overcome our conditioning, isn't it? So he had a very low birth, but he was elevated to the topmost position. This is a good story. This is a good plot. It's a good plot. Very significant. One might assume, again, that such an important responsibility is to stand in the forefront, to be the example for chanting and preaching, that you would give that to the most qualified person. Just like if you're a manager, right? And then you think, oh, well, we have to entrust the kitchen duty. The kitchen's very important. Sometimes the cook is more, you know, is respected more than the TP. Because he's providing all that delicious prasadam, giving us spiritual strength. So you consider, so who am I? I'm going to put the best cook. That person who's, or the Sankirtan leader, that person who has the understanding of Nama Sankirtan, who knows how to organize, and he's in charge, or who's going to be in charge of the Gurukul, you know, someone who was a teacher. So you would think, in the land of Sanatana Dharma, this is the Dharma of the most qualified, respectable Brahmana, who was well-versed in the three Vedas, who was born in a Saraswati Brahmana family. Come forward, you are. No, it was Haridas Thakur. Why? In essence, because this pastime shows the all-merciful and powerful nature of the Yuga Dharma. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. To elevate anyone and everyone who sincerely takes to the process of chanting. It's a process, it's a science. And that can be learned and cultivated within the International Society for Krishna. Prabhupada has set up this movement in such a way that one can come from any order of life, become qualified for diksha and for second initiation into the chanting of the holy, and become himself or herself empowered to deliver others. This pastime is meant to give faith to those born in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, no one can be proud. Pride is the nature of a conditioned soul in this world. What do we have to be proud? Kalo Sudra Sambhava. Shastra says, everyone is born a Sudra. That's complimentary, I would say. Sudra. Oh, I'm in the Vedic scheme. Maharaj said, you know, Brahman and Kshatriya Vaiso. At least I'm there. No. We are disqualified because of our past bad sinful habits. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. Immediately disqualified. But qualified because we receive that divine mantra from Guru and Gauranga, and as Sanatana Goswami said, witnessing the wonderful pastimes of Haridas Thakur, as bell metal can be changed to gold by a chemical, mystical process, so a low-born person addicted to sinful activity can become a qualified Brahmana, Vaishnava, by proper training in Diksha. There's a process to take bell metal and turn it into gold. The yogi, he would drink mercury, and the mercury would assimilate in his body, and then with mantra he would pass urine in the morning, and the urine would turn the bell metal to gold. But don't try it. Because even if your thermometer breaks in your mouth, you're going to get really sick. But they had this mystic about it. So it's mystical. How is it done? They asked Prabhupada, what is Sai Baba, he could make the powder come and make the gold chain. What is your miracle? And Prabhupada was sitting with his disciple. He just waved his hand and said, This is my miracle. All these Western boys and girls have become Pakka Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. Not imitation, not something secondary, but actually empowered themselves to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. This is the mystical nature of Krishna consciousness. So this pastime is meant to give us hope that everyone, anyone and everyone can achieve that. Actually, Narottam Das Thakur says, I'm the most fallen, so I deserve, please give me your mercy first. Mahaprabhu goes hunting for these types of souls just to glorify the holy name. He goes hunting for the most fallen, delivers him. So see, this holy name has delivered this person, then you also can be delivered. Prabhupada took great pride in seeing his disciples advance in Krishna consciousness and demonstrating the glories of the holy name. Before you all came to Krishna consciousness, you were dirty and unregulated, addicted to sinful activity. He said, now you look just like you've come from Vaikuntha, with your Kunti Mala, your Japa, your nice Vaishnava dress, your dancing. Now you look, and he accepted us as such. When Śrīdhara Prabhupāda desired association, he didn't necessarily go back to India to associate with the members of the Math of which he joined. He associated with his disciples. He accepted us as maybe green behind the ears, but Vaishnavas. He saw our sincerity. As I said the other day, I asked him, Krishna Goswami, what is the outstanding qualification for initiation into the holy names? He said, Guru Nishtha, faith in the Guru. And this is what the members of the movement had initially. We didn't know much. We couldn't give, you know, long classes and be expert at pujas, but we had Shraddha, we had faith in Prabhupada. And Prabhupada cultivated that faith. And now you have so many illustrious senior devotees guiding our movement. Bona fide. The green mango has become ripened. And Prabhupada, he would challenge, he would defend us. He would defend us that we're actually practicing bhakti. We become purified by the chanting. He defended us. He considered us, I mean, we shouldn't think of ourselves like that, but Prabhupada saw like that as more advanced than any yogis or jnanis or whatever. In my favorite letter, we're quoting a lot of letters this month, but my favorite letter of all time, it's kind of I carry it with me everywhere in, for the last 46 years as a inspiration. Prabhupada wrote my godbrother, Prabhu Vishnu, Prabhu, who was traveling and preaching all over England at that time in a Volkswagen van with 8 brahmacharis. There's only 6 seats, but there's 8 brahmacharis. And all the books are stored and all the pots and pans. And, you know, it was austere, very austere. Not like here in Australia. They used to say the sun never sets on the British Empire. Now it never rises. And it's cold and dark and dank. But Prabhu Vishnu was a real foot soldier doing the work of chanting in the cold mornings in the van with the brahmacharis, going out all day long and preaching. Prabhupada considered that he had made more advancement than any other transcendentalist. And I quote my favorite letter of all time. I can understand that it is not an easy matter to travel extensively over long periods of time without proper food, rest, and sometimes it must be very cold there also. And still, because you are getting so much enjoyment, spiritual enjoyment from it, it seems like play to you. That is the advanced stage of spiritual life, never attained by even the greatest yogis and so-called jnanis. Let any man see our devotees working so hard for Krishna. Then let anyone say they are not better than millions of so-called yogis and transcendentalists. That is my challenge. Because you are rightly understanding through your personal realization this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in such a short time, you have surpassed all the stages of yoga process to come to the highest point of surrender to Krishna. That I can appreciate very much. Thank you for helping me in this way. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Śrī Yuga Dharma Hari Nam Sankirtan ki, Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu ki. That one can attain perfection by chanting Hare Krishna and distributing the holy names. It's like nitroglycerin, right? It's not just chanting. We have to take the chanting to the people. We have japa, we have congregational chanting, but to get the full perfection, if you take it to the people, sometimes people ask me, what temple, where is your base? I say, my base is First Street and Vine Street on the corner. What? First Street and Vine Street? You know, in America, every city has got a First Street and something called like Vine Street. That's where you live. That's my temple, the temple of the heart. That's where I feel most connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the street corner with the mridanga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Louder, Rama. Why loud? So others can hear. As Jesus said, it's better to give than it is to receive. So we get fixed up in our japa, we relish chanting in each other, and then we spill out, just like Sri Vasangam. At one point, Mahaprabhu said, out! And they're chanting, relishing, you know. No karmis there, just relishing. One day, open the door, out! Chant! Go! What? Like you see that famous Happiness on 22nd Avenue, Happiness on 2nd Avenue video, you know, that Brahmananda is going with this big drum, and Gargamuni's there, and devotees are kind of like nervous, and like, it's the first Harinam. They're going out, Hare Krishna. But you have to go out. And then Srinam Prabhu gives full mercy. Because Srinam Prabhu means he's a person. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. There's no difference between the name of Krishna and Krishna himself. So we approach the holy name as a person, just like when the deity is open. We're conscious, we prepare ourselves for the opening of the curtain. So before we begin our japa, many devotees say many prayers, preparing their consciousness to receive the personality of Srinam. So he's a very benevolent personality. So when you chant, you get mercy. But when you go out and you distribute the holy name in a variety of ways, street sankirtan, book distribution, festivals, namahata, internet, if we have this giving mood, how much mercy we get. Prabhupada's father told him, and Prabhupada recounted this, he said, the Lord in his universal form has unlimited arms, unlimited hands. He said, how much mercy can you accept from him with your two little hands? Just to give us an idea how much mercy is available for us. So we want that mercy, and we need that mercy because we're fallen. And their conditioning is still strong. And most of our progress in Krishna consciousness doesn't come by our feeble attempts to, yes, to practice, but it comes by divine mercy. Ramanda Brahmati Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. Guru Krishna Prasad, by the intervention of a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi, who has some, you're sitting on the bus, and you're chanting. Someone says, what are you doing? I'm glad you asked. Chanting Hare Krishna. What is that? We've got 45 minutes till we reach our destination. Every opportunity to share. This is when the floodgates are opened and the mercy comes. Just like Prabhu Vishnu. Prabhu received so much gratitude from Prabhupada for attempting to. Even if we're not successful, the attempt is glorious. So, that this chanting is the Yuga Dharma, it's not a secret. It's declared in Srimad Bhagavatam 5,000 years ago. Krite yad dhyanto vishnum treta yajato makahai dvapare pari acharyam kalota dhari kirtanat. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, and in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dvapara Yuga by serving the lotus feet, which means the deity, can be obtained in Kali Yuga by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. One time one of the disciples of Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur said, Guru Maharaj, how can we determine what's a good class? So many of my godbrothers, he said. So Bhaktisananda Saraswati, you can understand what is a good class by how many times Krishna's name has been mentioned. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So the idea is not new. It was foretold. It's enshrined in scripture that this would be the this is thousand before this is in Dwapara Yuga. Krishna is on the planet. That's Dwapara Yuga. Kali Yuga began when Krishna left. So before Krishna left, it was enshrined in stone. It was there that this would be the process. So the idea is not new, but we need someone to demonstrate it. We need leaders, we need heroes in Krishna consciousness, just like we had when we were kids, you know, Peter Pan, Mickey Mouse, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, it's the same principle is there. We need heroes, those who inspire us to give up our conditioned nature, break free from our conditioning, take up the process, and become devotees. There's a saying, example is higher than precept. We say both are required. Precept means what's the foundation of this movement? The foundation of this movement is our philosophy. Therefore, every devotee should know the philosophy. If we don't know the philosophy, we're leaving ourselves open for Maya's tricks. The foundation, the glory. As I travel around the world, I meet, with all due respect, I meet leaders of so many spiritual institutions, and they look good, and they talk well, and they've got an entourage, and we actually sit down, get down to basics, they don't have much philosophy. They don't have much philosophy. I don't want to be disrespectful, but I won't bring up any names. I've met many very prominent, recently I met very, and you get right down to it, many of them don't even know they're not the body. Or that after death the soul continues, or that God's a person, or how is creation, how the maintenance, in Krishna consciousness, any question you have can be answered to your full satisfaction. That's the beauty of this movement. Perfect questions, perfect answers. There's nothing it's all there in Shastra, all there in the personalities who are speaking this, all there in the light, their examples. It's the perfect movement. It's our philosophy, it's our strength. So precept is there, but we really need someone to show us, to demonstrate how to practice Krishna consciousness. That's why we go to school. The knowledge is there, but we need a teacher. You know, what can you learn? If you want to learn, play a musical instrument, you know, okay, you get a few chords down. But if a teacher, whew, guitar in 10 easy lessons. So Krishna consciousness, by having our acharyas, it becomes Krishna consciousness in one lifetime. That which could take millions of lifetimes. Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur said at one initiating ceremony, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Because we have the example. So both are important, but really, like Papa said, Bhagavat and Book Bhagavat and Person Bhagavat. That's how Prabhupada said it. Very poetic. We have the Bhagavatam and we have the Person Bhagavatam. You can look, he's a living example. Wow! He's a living example of the Bhagavatam. I'm just going to follow him. I can't read very much. I'm going to follow him, serve him, get his blessings. So we need acharyas like Haridas Thakur and Śrīla Prabhupāda. Tule yamalave napi nasvargam napurnar bhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martya namkim utashisha. The value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets. Or liberation from matter, what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. Wow. So it naturally comes to mind Like when we have these discussions, the intelligence is stimulated. Just like before a meal sometimes, they serve hors d'oeuvres. Hors d'oeuvres means that before the main meal, they bring out some nuts, some juice, and then why? Because it gets your digestion really going, right? The lady's been cooking for hours, and I'm not so hungry. Well, eat these little nuts and these fruit, you know, this drink. And then you get the digestion going. So by having discussions like this, then, it's like the hors d'oeuvre. Then it stimulates the mind. So how is it that, you know, Haridasa Thakur took birth? And I mean, he must be an exalted personality to be chosen by the Lord, but how is it exactly that he took birth in a low family? Is there some reference to this, how that happened? We heard in the purport he's Lord Brahma. Like, how's Brahma, who's the mice? Brahma is a position, it's a job, and there's a job description, and the most pious person in the universe at the time of creation is deputed to be Lord Brahma. So how did Brahma take birth as a Malecha? Well, that's another good plot. You don't need to read mystery novels and love stories and soap operas. Just study Bhagavatam. Ramayana, Mahabharata, everything is there. We just have to, like, do it, read it. So there's some explanation how Brahma took birth as a Yavana. As I said, all questions are answered in Krishna consciousness. It's actually described many places, but Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in his Navadvip Dhamma Mahatmya that Lord Brahma was present in the sky in his airplane, because when Krishna was killing the Agasura snake demon 5,000 years ago, you know, there's that there's a painting, I think, in the Krishna book where you see the pastimes in the sky. There's all these flower airplanes, and demigods are watching, like, wow, that's like, whoa, yeah, whoa, come on. That's their Lord, and they love seeing him engaged in his transcendental pastimes. And so it was that when Krishna was killing Agasura, you had Trinivarta here recently. They called him Debbie or something, right? Partial manifestation of Trinivarta. You know what I'm talking about. It's no fun when the demons come and attack Govardhan. So that, but Krishna always wins, so that the demigods are watching. And he was looking at this, he's saying, he became a little bewildered. It's another discussion how, by the will of the Lord, he became a little bit, how could this little coward boy do that? So he decided to test Krishna to see if he's really God. So you know the story. He stole the cows and the cowherd boy. It's kind of like a trick to, like Krishna, like, well, what happened? See what he did. And what he did convinced Brahma that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma took those cows and boys away for 1 year, and he thought he'd come back and Krishna would just be a cowherd boy. Krishna had expanded himself as all the cows and all the cowherd boys. And it was all going on. So Brahma became so embarrassed. I've committed such an offense, he said. Due to my pride, I've committed an offense to the Lord. So he came before Krishna and he begged for forgiveness. And if we make a mistake in Krishna consciousness, if we make an offense and we show remorse and we change our ways, that slate's cleared. You're forgiven. But Brahma was left, because he's a devotee, he was left with this sense of, I've offended Krishna. And so went back to his abode, and then he decided that he had to rectify his pride by taking a very humble position. So he went to, he knew, being Triganakala, being an advanced devotee, he knew that in Kali Yuga, his beloved Krishna would appear as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radhe Krishna Nahiyanga. Radha and Krishna would appear as the Yuga Avatar in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Brahma, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he went to Navadvip Dham, Antardvip, specifically. And he engaged in great penance and austerity. He can do that. You know, when we know that Brahma is good at that, the penance and austerity. He heard the, he got the command when he was under the ocean. He took the birth on the lotus flower and no one else was around. He to seek out his existence. He climbed down the stem and tappa, tappa. He heard the divine. So, austerity. Every transcendentalist engages in some form of austerity, detach themselves from the material world and engage in spiritual activities. So he performed tapasya. So on this occasion, he did such severe tapasya in Navadvip that that Mahaprabhu actually appeared to him. And he said to Mahaprabhu, for so long I've been conditioned by my pride, please allow me to take a humble birth to serve you in your forthcoming pastimes as the Yuga avatar in Kali Yuga. So Lord granted that wish. And so it was that in the year 1451 AD, 35 years before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 35 years before. This is all, it's all this, the Lord's just setting the scene. Just like some devotees here have set up such a beautiful facility for our function. You know, the scene was set. When I arrived, there was nothing here. It was just a puddle of water, actually, a week ago. I walked out, this is amazing. And then we come into the scene and we do our activities. So Mahaprabhu also sets the scene. He sends an advance party, right? Sometimes in our Polish tour, you know, we're here and we have to go. So Nandini sends an advance party to book the halls or get this there and speak to the mayor. So Mahaprabhu this is the advance party. Advaitacharya and Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur, they're advanced. So he took his birth in the village of Budhan in the district of Jessore, in a Muslim family. That's modern-day Bangladesh. I actually had the privilege of visiting that place with His Holiness Radhanath Swami. We were discussing one day the glories of Narottam Das Thakur, who also appeared in what is present-day Bangladesh. It used to be East Bengal. Many of Mahaprabhu's associates, many of his pastimes happened just over the border in Bangladesh, but because of politics now, the British, it is all divided up, and Bangladesh is a Muslim country and difficult to practice openly, although there are many devotees there, Krishna consciousness, and so we don't go there, but it's just a few kilometers away, actually. If it was what it was before, our Mayapur temple, we're right in the middle of Mahaprabhu's Leela pastime. On the left, West Bengal, on the east, East Bengal, and Jayapataka Swami would be taking us not on South Indian tours, he'd be taking us on East Bengal tours to the home of Jagannath Mishra and the birthplace of Advaitacharya and the pastimes of Narottam and so forth and so on. So this is where Haridasa Thakur appeared, and he took his birth in a Muslim family. From that point on, his early life is actually shrouded in mystery. One well-known scholar, however, Professor Nishkanta Sanyal, who was very much appreciated for his writings and his scholarly attitude during the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. After his Guru Maharaj passed away, he deviated a little bit. But what he wrote during the time is very much appreciated by the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So he writes in his research, clouded in mystery, there's not much known about Haridasa Thakur when he was young, but it's described he was very handsome. This was noted by anyone who wrote about him. He was very handsome. I'll just leave it at that. You can use your imagination. Handsome young man. And Professor Sanyal says that one day a Vaishnava sadhu came through, and the young boy, the Muslim, became attracted to him, associated with that sadhu, and took initiation into the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. And those of you who have taken initiation, you know there's a transformation. It may not be like we hear when Mahaprabhu took initiation into the mantra from Ishvara Puri. He came back a few days later and said, like, what mantra have you given me? Because he manifested all the eight ecstatic symptoms of love of God Or like Narottam, when he got the mercy, he just became transformed. They thought he ghosted it in his body. They got an exorcist. The realized devotees were just laughing. This is ecstatic. But if you're conditioned souls and there's a lot of mud and covering the heart, then it takes a while to come out. But he immediately became transformed because of his an exalted personality. There's no documented historical record of this. Like I say, it's Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that this could possibly be. Anyway, it's known that at that point in his life, he left. He was a Vaishnava. He was converted from his Muslim birth. There's some research I did, it stated that some scholars, they say, oh, he was actually born in a Brahmin family, but by association with Muslims, he became like a Muslim. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did not accept that. He said, no, he was actually born from the womb of a Muslim mother. So when he was a young man, a teenager, and he left home. And unlike the teenagers in my generation who left home for sex, drugs, and rock and roll, he left home in Vedic tradition so that he could fully focus on his spiritual progress, on his mission, actually. And he went to the village of Benapole, and there he constructed a small hut made of grass and mud. And what did he do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, from the information available, it appears that when he came there, all the villagers were curious about this new sadhu, because he wasn't a homegrown sadhu. He just came there for whatever reason. So they're curious. And they used to visit him. This divine personality. Little did they know, actually, that Haridas Thakur was in fact a combination of three personalities. As I was reading this, I was going, OMG. Oh my God. He's three persons in one? How do you do that? And Prabhupada said, don't, you know, at our stage, we can't just accept. It will all be revealed. But what three personalities was Haridas Thakur? In the authorized book, Gora Gonadesha Dipika, by Kavikarna Purna, who was the son of Srivananda Sen, I believe, he wrote, Gora Gonadesha Dipika is the who's who. When I was young, my father had a book in his big library. And I'd say, Daddy, who's this? Go look in who's who. And I was growing up, you know, you're doing your studies and you come across. So, Daddy, who's who? Go look, there's a book, Who's Who. There's actually a book, Who's Who. And I would look and I would find the financial dealings in politics and in athletics, you know, the stars. So the who's who, the real who's who of importance to us, you know, because we love to hear our heritage and our heroes who came before us and established this movement and whom we're serving and representing now as best we can, the who's who in Gaur Lila. Who were they in Krishna Lila? Because I mentioned earlier, the gopis became the males. Wow. So in the who's who, Gorgon, it describes, who is this Haridas Thakur? And it's written, Rikika Muni's son, Brahma Mahatapa. Not Brahma, but this boy. His name is Brahma Mahatapa. He was the son of a rishi called Rikika Muni. And Prahlad Maharaj combined to appear as Haridas Thakur in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He says, in the book Chaitanya Charitarita by Murari Gupta, it is explained that one morning, Mahatapa, the boy, gave an unwashed tulsi leaf to his father, who became so angry at him, he cursed him, become a yavana. You don't wash the tulsi before the puja? Yavana, take birth as a yavana, his dad. Oh. Because of this, Mahatapa Brahmana took birth in a Yavana family as the great devotee Haridas Thakur. But there's more. Seek and ye shall find. In chapter 24 of Prema Vilas by Nityananda Das, the disciple of Janavamata, not her son, because Janavamata didn't have children. Nitai married Vasudha, who gave birth to children, but Janava was without issue. So Nityananda is the disciple of Janavamata. In his book, Prema Vilas, Accepted, he writes, Rikikamuni's son, who was named Brahma, became a Yavana due to the father's curse. However, the great-souled Brahma, also took birth together with Rikikamuni's son. He took birth also as Haridas Thakur. Then Prahlad Maharaj came and joined them as well. These three persons mingled together as Haridas Thakur. So the young Brahmana boy, Mahatapar Brahmana, Brahma, and Prahlad Maharaj. Three persons. I tried to figure it out, but I just accepted it. That's really cool. So though, although there are various personalities and personages in Haridas Thakur's identity, Acharyas generally accept and understand that his life parallels mostly with Prahlad Maharaj, the prominent of the three persons. Just like in a family, there's different persons, but there's someone who's prominent. Amongst your children, there's a prominent son or daughter. So in this character of Haridas Thakur, Prahlad Maharaj stands out most because Prahlad Maharaj took birth in a demoniac family and was completely absorbed in chanting the holy names and was persecuted and ultimately delivered by the Lord, as was Haridas Thakur. At the same time, some scholars note that Haridas Thakur's life parallels very much with the activities of Lord Brahma, because as Brahma had an unlimited capacity to perform austerity and penance, so did Haridas Thakur. Believe me, to sit for 22 hours a day, Hare Krishna, and not think of breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or what's on the internet. His austerity was demonstrated by his vrata, to chant 192 rounds a day and find time for preaching. At the same time, Prabhupada said that although he's acharya, and literally the term acharya means to teach by example, we have to be very careful not to imitate him. Because if we were taught to sit, and some devotees did this during Prabhupada's time. Remember there was one devotee who came from New York to one of the Mayapur festivals, and he didn't come into the association of devotees and do nam Sankirtan, but he went into the fields and I'll show them what chanting is. And he tried to chant so many rounds a day and then he fell away. Prabhupada wasn't impressed. He wasn't impressed. So we can't imitate because we're not at that stage. There's too much contamination in the heart. Our minds are too restless. We maybe one day, yes. Prabhupada gave Babaji to one of my godbrothers, Udalami, who had cancer, and he said, so you sit and chant all day long. But they were bringing him Mahaprasadam and all kinds of things, and he got distracted and went home. So it's a difficult. Maybe one day we can. That's our goal, to chant Kirtaniyat Sahari, Kirtaniyat Sadahari, 24 hours a day. But we follow in the footsteps. It means that we're loyal to our vow to chant 16 rounds a day as prescribed by our Acharya, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. It's up to the present-day acharyas to, if necessary, adjust the tradition so that the followers can imbibe the same principle. So Prabhupada asked, he when he first came, he said 64, you can imagine. They just came off the street, their long hair, their last dose of LSD was 3 hours before. 64 rounds a day, wow. And then 32, and then minimum 16. But if you follow 16, then you get the blessings of those who were chanting 64 by Prabhupada's grace. As Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful incarnation, his most merciful representative is Srila Prabhupada. So don't abuse that. Chant 16 rounds a day. Prabhupada writes in a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, that's the most important instruction of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada set up our movement in such a way that we can be like Hari Das Thakur. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, an assembly of devotees, Prabhupada, I want to be just like you. And the disciples took it like, you can't, that's offensive. You can't say you're going to be like Prabhupada, you know, on that level. Prabhupada, he said, no, no. He said, that's what I want. I want my disciples to become like me. Like, we don't want to become God, we want to become godly. We don't want to become the spiritual master, but we want to become the pure representatives of the spiritual master. We want to become pure. We want to become empowered, not for name, fame, and prestige, so that we can be the loyal servants of our Guru Maharaj and be his instruments. We don't want to be a dull knife in the hand of the surgeon. We want to be a sharp knife. We want to be learned. We want to be pure. We want to be empowered so that we can please our spiritual master by bringing more people to his lotus feet. Prabhupada means a master at whose feet all the other masters sit. So you want to bring them all up. So we have to become advanced like that. So Prabhupada set up our movement so that we can do these things like Hari Das Thakur. Not become Hari Das Thakur, but we can follow this. We can chant and we can go out and preach. We can follow that formula. ISKCON is set. So intelligent how Prabhupada set it up. And all the movements changed somewhat because now it's not so much of living in the temple, devotees, but we're outside. But our homes have become our temple if we practice the nine processes of devotional service properly. Have the right motivation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said one time, one day I woke up and saw my house had become Goloka Vrindavan. Like, really? So for householders, the sanctified place, the ashram where they serve the guru, is the home. It's not something separate. It's a satellite of the temple. We go to the temple nowadays, yes, of the big festivals and the programs, but our home is no less potent if we worship the deity, we chant our rounds, follow the principles, and so forth. So on. So Prabhupada set it up. And what is the result? By chanting and distributing the holy name, Skanda Purana describes the practical result in this age. I see that Kali Yuga is like a black, poisonous snake with a gaping mouth and fangs. But please be undisturbed, dear devotees, and listen with faith. Once the holy name of the Lord is being chanted, it is like igniting a forest fire which burns to ashes all the poisonous snakes within this forest of Kali Yuga. Isn't that wonderful? Here in Australia, I asked, are there any bears or lions or tigers? And, no, Maharaj, it's like really safe here. One devotee said, well, watch out for the brown snakes and the death adders. They look like sticks. And so what if there were no snakes? What if it was like New Zealand? Uh-oh. It's the same country, right? No. There's no poisonous snakes or spiders or anything in New Zealand. So what if all the dangers of Kali Yuga were removed? It's not a utopia. It's not a dream. It's not a fairy tale. If the world is flooded with the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, auspiciousness will reign. So it's blissful, isn't it, to come together like this? I have 10 minutes. Isn't it blissful to come? I mean, this is just pure nectar, to come together with some of the best kirtaneers. A really loud baby. Doesn't need a microphone. To come to have the opportunity in our busy schedules to come together with some of the best kirtaneers in ISKCON. I'd say the best. Although Prahlad missed his flight. Oh, Krishna. And the flights are all full, so say a prayer. Prahlad makes it. This is what we come for, and as Bhartahari Prabhu often says, this is what we do. Somebody says, what do you do? They all, you want to identify somebody like Where are you from? Like I said last night at the program at Krishna's village, yes, so where are you from? You know, so where's this mantra from? Goloka, whoa. So you ask somebody, where are you from? Oh, you're from there. Then you get an idea what they're like. Or you ask somebody, what do you do? I'm a doctor. Oh. I'm a street sweeper. Mm. So what do? I chant Hare Krishna. Boom, obeisances. This is what we do. That's the easy part. The hard part is when you leave and you go into Moolumba. And you're going to Brisbane, you go to Sydney, and you go into Auckland, and you go to New York, and you go to Paris. And as I've many times told you, Prabhupada called me one time. So, Indrajitna, how was the Harinam? Well, it was really hard today, Prabhupada. Boom! When did I ever say preaching is easy? You never said that. But by taking on the burden of love, we endear ourselves to our spiritual master, and we get blessings. Some devotees have even sacrificed their lives in the mission. Jesus Christ, Haridas Thakur, we'll hear in the seminar next few days, so he almost sacrificed his life. So preaching's not easy. Haridas Thakur relished that Nam Bhajan, but on the order of Mahaprabhu, he went out and he encountered much resistance. Prabhupada said one time, I heard him say in Geneva, he said, before Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, there were no demons. But as soon as he made his divine appearance in Mathura, there was a demon coming every day. So once the Lord makes his appearance in this world, which is full of envious persons to greater or lesser degrees, demigods or less, and snakes from the lower planets are more envious, but this is a world of envy because envy is the cardinal sin. Prabhupada said, there's so many things in this world you'll find in the spiritual, but you won't find any envy. We left the spiritual world because a little bit of jealousy, envy. So, therefore, if Krishna appears, and he declares himself the Supreme Person, Aham Sarvastra Pavavo Matta Sarvam, for me everything comes. Hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm trying to be a little Krishna. So as soon as the Lord appears, then there's opposition. And is he the same as his name? Yes. Namah Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Vigraha means form. So the sound vibration, Shabda Brahma, is Krishna appears in the form of sound. It's non-different. So therefore you'll see different reactions. Just like when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. Devotees flock to his lotus feet like bees to nectar. Whereas the envious, they huddled in little istagostis. How are we going to kill them? This happens in preaching. That's there in the Gita. Shtane Rishikesha Tava Prakirtya Jagat Pra Shrishat Yanu Rajate Cha Rakshashmi Bitani Disho Rivanti Sarve Namas Yanti Cha Siddha Sangaha. Very interesting verse. Arjuna said, O master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons, however, upon hearing your name, are afraid, and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. But they come back to attack. So, that we'll see in this course. And this is the real glories of Haridas Thakur, how he went out, how he sacrificed. And love means to sacrifice. How do you demonstrate your love? You give more than you take. We discussed this at a wedding the other day. It's a principle of bhakti. Actually, you give everything and expect nothing. But as we develop love, we give more than we take. And that, there in the gopis of Vrindavan, it's there in all our acharyas, it flows right down to every relation, every loving relationship in Krishna consciousness means friend and friend, husband and wife, servant and master, Krishna and the gopis. You give more than you sacrifice your own personal interests for the pleasure of your beloved. So Haridas Thakur, he was willing to sacrifice his life. He went out, but he knew Raki Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Raki Ke. For a devotee who has that level of surrender, that verse applies. We like to apply it to ourselves, but are we that surrendered? Krishna reciprocates according to the degree of our surrender. All of them as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So if you really want to experience that, Raki Krishna Mari Ke Mari Krishna, if Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. If Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. Then you have to just display full surrender. And that's the beauty of Haritas. Don't be afraid. Go out and preach the divine command. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, when will my compassion for all fallen souls manifest? And with a lowly heart, I'll go out to preach the divine command. So Prabhupada said one time, if there's no opposition, hey, we're doing really good, Prabhu. Like that, the government loves us and the church leaves us alone and nobody's... That's because you're not preaching. Prabhupada said, if there's no opposition, that means there's no preaching. So we can't be afraid. We have to go out. So tomorrow, as this seminar evolves, we'll go beyond that Bhajan Kutir. Well, we'll actually stay at the Bhajan Kutir and we'll see how Haridas Thakur was tested. Preacher is always tested. He'll be tested from within and he'll be tested from without. His own conviction, his faith in the holy name. One's advancement in Krishna consciousness can be determined with the Shraddha of the holy name. So his faith will be tested as an example for us, internal conviction, and his external preaching will also be tested. It's just a real life example for all of us in modern times. How his pure chanting of the holy name attracted both the divine and the demoniac. And how Haridas Thakur is teaching us, modern-day chanters, to deal with that. Valuable instructions from one who Prabhupada describes as the spiritual master for the entire world. We'll continue 3 more days, the glories of Srila Haridas Thakur. I would like to leave you this morning and every morning with Haridas Thakur's mission statement. We spoke about a mission statement. What is the essence of his teachings? This is something that I've taken from the 8th chapter of Harinam Chintamani by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is Haridas Thakur preaching to his followers then, preaching to his followers now, and preaching to our grandchildren and their grandchildren. This is the essential message that every devotee in the Krishna consciousness movement should embody within their hearts. I thought if I ever got a tattoo, which I won't, I love Madhava's tattoos, but I wouldn't get a tattoo. But if I ever got a tattoo, this would be the tattoo I got. I'd like to make this my mission statement. And as you know, I've instructed my disciples to memorize this and read it every morning before they do their job. But this is from the mouth of Haridas Thakur. The holy name is the purest form of knowledge. It is the best of all vratas or vows and the highest meditation. It gives the most auspicious fruits. It is the greatest renunciation. It is a matchless spiritual activity. It is the most pious of holy works. It is the supreme path of self-realization. It offers the greatest liberation and goal. It is the topmost destination. It is the best devotional service and the most purifying agent. It gives love of Godhead and is the essence of remembrance to the Lord. It is the cause of all causes, the supreme absolute truth. It is the most worshipable object and acts as the supreme guide and spiritual master. Srila Haridas Thakur ki. Yeah.